God is so good to us that he allows us to have fellowship. First off, with him. We who had been alienated from him are drawn close in fellowship to God himself. And having been filled with his Spirit, he draws us together as brothers and sisters that we might experience the blessing of true community. God, who is here, who has done all this blessing, says, "Grace to you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, who is our Creator. Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is our Redeemer. Grace to you and peace from God's Holy Spirit, which is given to us, lives in our hearts, and allows us to be his people together." Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be a family. We thank you that we can pray for one another. I thank you for all the prayers that go up for one another through the week. And we see that reflected in news of those who are sick and you are taking care of. So we lift up all those who are sick. We know who are struggling with various sicknesses. We lift those people up before you in our prayers. We thank you for your answers to prayer, and we pray for them that you would continue to heal them and restore them and make them strong. Lord, we thank you for the news for Pastor Joan. We thank you that she will soon be Professor Joan, and we thank you for taking care of them and ask that you would superintend all the details now that have to happen to move into that job. We thank you for this congregation and the discernment process we are on and looking at many changes, including the hiring of a new lead pastor. And we ask for discernment for us, and we also ask for discernment for Bruce and Joanne as they consider these things and their own calling and your calling on their lives individually and together. So Lord, we trust you with all of these things, and we entrust ourselves to you, and we give you our prayers now in the holy and worthy name of Jesus. Amen.
Bible together and reading from Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, beginning at verse 18. If you want to find that, if you would like to read along. In heaven, we thank you for the gift of your word, for speaking words of truth and peace and challenge. We long for your Holy Spirit to fill us so that we are given the capacity to really deeply understand these words that you have inspired. May we be found obedient to what you say and willing to do what you ask of us for your glory and to your honor. Amen. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons and the daughters of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in order that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, wouldn't it be nice if everything was simple? If every problem we had a clear and obvious solution? If everything that's opaque in our lives could be made suddenly crystal clear, wouldn't it be nice? Well, to be honest, I'm not sure that it would. It would take away a lot of the wonder and the mystery of life. It's in pondering the possibilities and talking about the enigmatic aspects of life that life itself becomes really interesting. And it's the same, I think, with faith. There are some things that we hold to be true, things that the church has said and claimed, to which it remains faithful. Even in the face of persecution, we say, this is what we believe, this is what has been given, and on this we stand. There are other things that the church has said, on this point we can talk, we can discuss, we can debate, we can wonder together about what is the best and right way to understand this. And we can disagree. There are lots of things that within a church and as people of goodwill and of Christian faith that we can say we don't have consensus on this. And then there are those things that are simply mysteries. Things that we'll never understand. Maybe that make us marvel. That we ponder upon, and maybe as the lights turn off and we're laying in our beds, we think about these things. You say, we probably will never know the answer to this one. Now please, let's not be among those people who seem to be so cocksure of everything that they refuse to see the power or the wisdom or the mystery that is indeed beyond their capacity to understand or even seize upon. I think people that don't allow themselves the wonder of mystery miss out on a lot of the fun and the joy that comes with faith as a gift from God. Now the greatest mysteries, in my opinion, the greatest mysteries are those things that have to do with who and what things actually are. If you went to college and you took introductory philosophy, like me, you probably spent a whole semester trying to define what is a chair. But I think what my old philosophy prof was trying to say is defining things is hard and it's worth the effort of trying to do your best at it. And as Christians, we say, okay, let's talk about how we understand God. What is God revealed to be to us in the Word and according to our understandings? Say, well, he's a Trinity. God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but he's one God. We should never say we have three gods. We have one, but they're three distinct persons. You think, what? How does that work? You think on that. You ponder it, but you'll never really understand it. What does it mean? We talk about Jesus a lot, of course. And what does it mean that Jesus was fully 100% God? While at the same time, Jesus is fully 100% human like us. Fully united with God. Fully united with us and our humanity. And you think about that and it starts to cook your noodle. But it's a joy to ponder and say, I don't get it. I'm going to think about this my whole life. And in the end, I will say, "Prayer, thanks be to God for the mystery." What does it mean when we say that, that people, you and I, every one of us, is made in the image of God? That we possess souls that animate us and draw us toward the divine, while at the same time we are made of the dirt and soil and stuff of the earth. That we're subjected to all the forces of gravity and chemistry and all the things that are put onto the earth, the things made of earth and air and water and fire, and that's us. What's really going on when we stand at the graveside and there's this cold, still, breathless body we're about to put into the ground? How is it that we who are still alive are connected, body and soul together, mixed and mashed and held together? And yet this loved one is disconnected, body and soul. How does that work? What does that mean? I think it's in this last wondering that we get close to the meaning of the text that we have for today on this Earth Day. Remember we read from Romans 8 and said this: "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we await our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." Creation is groaning. And we can hear the reports of these groans as we listen to the news. On this Earth Day 2018, right now, there is a heat wave going on in Australia. A heat wave that is so severe that thousands upon thousands of bats are dropping dead onto the ground. That they're being decimated by the heat. I don't know if it was this week, I think maybe last week, a sperm whale washed up dead on a beach in Spain. And in its stomach, they found 29 kilograms, that's 64 pounds, of plastic and other non-degradable garbage in its stomach. And that whale had starved because its stomach was full of that crap. We hear about glaciers retreating, Arctic ice not forming, and polar bears starving on snowless shores because they can't get to the seals that are their food. We heard about the hurricanes that smashed into all those Caribbean islands, and how months later, many are still suffering from the consequences. We've all heard about Puerto Rico and how they have not been able to recover from the calamity that hurricane wreaked upon them. You hear about cities in Asia. And Joanne and I were missionaries in the Philippines, and we would have to land in Manila, and it was quite an experience to be flying up at 35,000 feet and then in the clear air and the blue sky, and then you come down towards Manila and you settle into this brown fog, and the light goes away, and you realize that all this is the pollution that's spewed into the air, and people wear masks on the street, and weak people die because their lungs are compromised. This is the world. This is the world that we live in. And these things are not the way they're supposed to be. This is not right. This isn't God's plan. Creation was made to be a place of balance, of perfect order, where life unfolds and every element carries on and does what it was created by God to be. And where that balance is upset, where order is disrupted, where peace is lost, there is sin. Or the tragic results of sin. A sperm whale dead on a beach in Spain died because of sin. And people that can't breathe in Beijing can't breathe because of sin. Care of creation is our calling as people made in the image of God, people given a responsibility to care for the earth. And where we have failed to preserve and protect water and air and land, we have sinned. And where our greed or our self-interest or our lack of interest causes us to justify the desecration of the creation, we only compound our sin. And to advocate for healthy practices and policies that bring wholeness and sustainability to our society and into our world is to do a holy thing. But it's not just the environment and not just nature that groans. We too groan over the consequences of sin. As pastor, and I've been a pastor now, I was ordained, I think, 26 or 27 years ago, so I've been at this for a bit. It's been part of my calling to come alongside people in the hard times of life. When sickness strikes, I've gone there. When trauma has occurred, it's been accident, an injury, been called. When relationships sour, when man and woman, husband and wife are saying, I can't be together, when other relationships are brittle and disintegrating, I've been there. And the time is coming for every single one of us when we will indeed groan in our troubles. For all of us, eventually, pain is coming, grief is coming, and things that make us afraid are coming. It's a matter of time. And now in this moment, we can say, let us be prepared for what life brings. And as we think of that, we must not forget that there are in this world, I heard, over 65 million refugees. People who have been forcibly displaced and have no place to call home. We must not forget them either. And know that the sound of their groaning motivates us to act justly and to love mercy. But here's the good news of all this. There is groaning, and if you're not groaning, you will, sorry. But even if you are groaning now, and even when you do groan into the future, that groan is not the last word. It's not the end of the story. The gospel is that Jesus Christ came to be God with us, so that those groans can be converted into laughter. That cries of despair can be psalms of thanksgiving. That our brokenness in time by the act of God will be wholeness for us. And again, as a pastor of the church, My calling is to say to people groaning in their trouble that this is not the end of the matter. At the graveside, it's my job with you to say, look to the sky, the place from which our Lord will return, and look down to the ground, because this is the place where this loved one will rise again, and in her flesh she will see God. In the hospital, to say in the name of the Lord that the day is coming when cancer will be gone, where weakness will be replaced with strength. And in a living room where there is tear and anguish and brokenness, tell them that the Prince of Peace can indeed bring back peace into families and former friends at war with one another. This is the gospel, that Jesus came to restore peace and wholeness to creation, to every part of creation. It is our tendency to focus on the spiritual. Say, well, okay, churches talk about spiritual things and practical, worldly, material things. We leave that outside. We say that the church is about saving souls and that other stuff we leave aside. But that is not right. Because the Lord is the Lord of all creation, and He cares for every part of it and has His will for every part of it. All of creation is important to God. Every part. I mean, your souls? Oh, boy, they're super important to God. He's really concerned about the state of your soul and your relationship with Him. But your bodies are important to God, and He wants them to be honorable, and He wants them to be used in His service, and He wants you to have joy in your body and in every way that's right. Our relationships are important to God. He cares that we are able to love each other, that when we have differences, that they don't divide us, that when we hurt each other, we forgive one another. That is all important to God. The environment is important to God. Our God cares about Bloordale Park. And I would say that our God is delighted that a bunch of us are going to go there this afternoon and make it a little bit better. The creatures that inhabit the air and the water and that walk on the land are important to Him. For some reason, He cares about the skunks. And He cares about the puppy dogs and the snails and the grubs. He does. He cares about minerals and trees and the chemical elements. He cares about galaxies and mysterious black holes. He came for it all because He created it all. And He loves it all. And He has put stewardship over it in our hands and says, people made in my image, care for the things that I care about. And in time, all of it will be redeemed and rescued and restored. And our vision as Christians needs to be as comprehensive and all-encompassing as indeed is the vision of God Himself. We can't stop the groaning. We're going to groan. Creation's going to groan until the Lord returns. But until that day, we comfort where we can. We encourage where we can. We restore where we can in the name of Christ and to his eternal glory. So on this Earth Day, 2018, let's make this a good one. We'll do that by committing to the Prince of Peace's agenda. We'll do it by picking up some trash. We'll do it by having our vision shaped by his vision, by committing ourselves to valuing what God values and seeking the blessing of that which he wishes to have blessed. And when that happens, all creation smiles back at its good and glorious Creator. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for making such a wonderful world. You've made it complex, intriguing, captivating. Sometimes we're confused by it, but we know that you are the one who spoke the word that brought it all into being. Where creation is groaning because of sin inflicted upon it, Lord, forgive us. And encourage us, empower us to be your agents of transformation in the world, making this place a little bit better to your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.